Pay me a compliment, Melvin. I need one. Quick. You have no idea how much what you just said hurt my feelings. A compliment is something nice about somebody else.
This is a request from June.
And now or never.
Okay.
And mean it.
Can we order first?
And that's from As Good As It Gets. And have you been in that situation where you're with your partner or someone you love and you just feel so hurt by them? It just hurts you to the core and you finally gain the courage and you say, pay me a compliment. And of course, you can't force their minds. You can't force an apology. You can't force a compliment. And so he buys some time. He says, can we order first? And of course, they have romantic music in the background. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. And it is important to pay those you love compliments, but not when they're trying to force you. My show is a show that you can call with any question that's on your mind. I'm a clinical psychologist, and you can call me right now. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And any question that's keeping you awake at nights, whether it's with your in-laws or your friends or your kids or yourself, pick up the phone, give me a call. And you can also visit my website, drkenner.com. Got lots of articles and books I recommend on the website. And right now we'll turn to the phones and welcome Sue. Sue, you're having some sadness in your daughter's life, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, she was engaged to a fella for 2 years, and just when the wedding was planned and we're ready to throw the engagement party, she found out, we knew there was family problems on his side, but we didn't know to the extent, and she found out that he had had a 3-year incestuous relationship with his sister.
Oh, my God.
As a teenager, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God was exactly what we said. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And
so go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
He hid some significant information to her that would make her change her mind.
Yes. A year ago, we had heard a rumor, and we confronted him, and she confronted him, and he said, no, it wasn't true. Then when it came to the engagement party, no one from his family was attending. So we said, well, there's obviously something wrong. Why wouldn't they attend? We don't even know your family. And then that's when we found out why they weren't attending.
What a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, what is she needing most right now?
It's been 7 months since they broke off the engagement. She's a teacher. She teaches primary children.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew in her brain told her the decision she had to make, but her heart is still saying something different. So she's wondering if she's made the right choice and if it's possible that he really is okay, even though he didn't have any counseling or anything. And she sort of says to us, well, you know, if it wasn't for you and Dad, then I might have took my chances and done something different. So we're kind of...
Yeah, go ahead. So she feels like you're the one that, you were the tipping point. You were the ones that said to her, you can't go through with this, honey.
Yeah.
There's too many unknowns here, too many uncertainties. The
right.
most important thing you need to know about the person that you're marrying, not so much the grocer, but the person you're marrying, is his character.
Right.
And if there's data that comes that's brand new to her about his character that raises enormous questions about his choice making, about his deceit to her. I mean, even if he, 3 years is a heck of a long time, and the fact that the family's not staying around gives you data that it did a lot of damage, that this just wasn't a family that was holed up in Alaska with, you know, in the wilderness, and there was nobody else, and they were both teenagers, and they engaged in some sexual experimentation because there was nobody else around. You know,
exactly.
I'm trying to think of a situation where you would say, oh, okay, there's a little bit of a different context here. But even then it's extremely, can be extremely traumatizing. So the fact that the whole family is saying no to him tells you what?
Well, they're not saying no to him. They said no to our daughter.
Oh.
I'm
really puzzled.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
wait a minute. Why did they say no to her?
She's very well-educated, obviously. She's a teacher. She's outspoken. Not outspoken, but she has an opinion, and she, if she needs to know something, she will make sure that she finds out all the information. She's not. We actually were told so many different stories that we pushed for him to go and sign a waiver for records.
Yeah.
So she could actually view the records of what had happened because he was charged.
How old was he?
He was 12 when it started and 15 when it ended. That's what's documented.
And the sister is how old?
The sister was 9, and when it ended, she was 12.
Okay, so they were 3 years difference.
Yeah, they still...
And the damage to the sister, is it pretty severe?
Well, she seems okay. She drinks and, you know, that kind of stuff, but nothing over the edge as of yet. She's just in her 20s.
Yeah. Dating? She dating?
She dates, and she has quite a few other friends.
Okay. So do you mean she
has
affairs? She's very promiscuous.
Yeah.
So it did do some damage to her view of love and sex and romance. And
Yeah. So they're still best friends, and she occasionally sleeps over. And
this is very weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So just by getting that little cameo, that it's not, I wouldn't say it's a cameo. What would you say? It's an ugly...
It's horrific.
Yeah, it's a horrific picture of what went on, the choice making in the past, and the fact that it's having longer range consequences on the sister, and the fact that he never told your daughter.
Right.
I mean, I tell people that have secrets, tell your partner.
Yeah.
Not because it will come out in the future, but because you're deceiving them in the present.
Right.
That they don't know you. They don't have the full data by which to judge whether to marry you.
Yeah.
So he may have some decent qualities. But the fact that the sister is still in and out of his life, the fact that she's promiscuous, the fact, I mean, your daughter would be bringing on baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what? If she wants a family, I mean, she works with little kids. If she wants a family, what happens when her own daughter turns 12 years old, your granddaughter?
I know
there are all these icky thoughts.
Yeah.
So I think you were helpful in helping your daughter make a more rational decision. But that's really hard to say because she needs to see that data firsthand. And if she's still swimming in all of the positives of this guy, she needs some time to recognize that there were positives, but positives are never good when there are negatives. For example, my favorite author, Ayn Rand, uses the example of what happens if you eat food and poison, like arsenic.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite food plus poison. What does it equal?
Exactly.
It can kill you.
Very good. Yeah.
Right? Well, this is Ayn Rand, A-Y-N-R-A-N-D, my favorite author. She wrote The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And it's the same here, that he can have very good qualities. Some of the most charismatic men are awful. They're criminals. I mean, they use the charisma to cover up their better traits to cover up the corruption.
And that's exactly the picture.
So I think she could get a little book, get a life, then get a man. It's an adorable little book by Jennifer.
Get a life, get a man.
Then get a man. It's on my website, drkenner.com. It's just a cute book that may help her put things in perspective with the partner she currently has. She may not want to read it. I mean, this is coming from mom, so.
Okay. Yeah.
But she needs to see firsthand the longer range consequences, all the negatives that could befall her. So listen, thank you so very much for the call, and I wish her some real romantic happiness in the future and the memories of this guy fading.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness, toll-free 1-877-DRKENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by psychologist Drs. Kenner and Locke.
There are books that offer particulars about dating online. However, don't be deluded into thinking that you can really know someone just from communicating through a website or email. You cannot get a complete, accurate impression of someone unless you see them face to face over a long period of time. The person you meet online may turn out to be very different from the person you meet in the flesh. There are safe ways to meet potential partners in person so that your privacy and safety are protected. expected. Meet in a public location. Carry a cell phone. Don't give any personal information such as your address. And let friends or family know where you plan to go. If you find yourself trusting the person on this first encounter, you can set up future meetings and gradually give out more personal information.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.